Q92, this is Mel.
Hey, Mel, it's John Angus from The Trues calling.
Holy cow, so good to talk to you. Oh, my goodness. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Well, we love The Trues up here in the north, so we can't wait to see you again on Saturday night. Welcome back. Welcome back to the north.
Thank you. It's been a minute since we played the Sudbury area, the north. So we're excited to be back up there and hoping that the bugs aren't too bad and hoping to have some nice weather and see some people. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it is going to be fun. Now, you guys have had a busy summer, a busy year, actually, busy career for 20 years. John Angus, what keeps The Trues going with so much passion and energy?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, it's a real case of careful what you wish for. Like, we worked our tails off when we were, like, in our late teens and early 20s to try to achieve a career in music. And then it sort of happens, and then you're kind of off and running, and you get busy, and you stay busy, and you're kind of grateful for that. I think we've always felt like there's more around the corner. There's more to learn. There's more to write. You can always improve in every kind of aspect of this job, you know, whether it be as a performer, as a writer, as a bandmate, you know, learning the business, you can get better at all that stuff. So I feel like it's just been this sort of ever-evolving learning curve, and luckily we're having a lot of fun along the way, you know.
Well, let's touch a little bit on what you said about when you were teens starting out. Any advice for up-and-coming bands based on The Trues' experience, your experience?
Well, I mean, the industry sure has changed a lot since, you know, me and Jack and Colin, who are still in the band, got together and jammed for the first time in the summer of 1996. Oasis were the biggest band in the world. That's how long ago it was. And so the industry was totally different, but I still think a couple of things hold true through all the different metamorphoses that have gone on. One is, like, focus on your songs. Songs are your currency. Songs are what carry you across time zones and, you know, around, you know, borders and all around the world. So songs are sort of the currency of the music business. And then the other thing is just play live a lot. And that's the part I see sort of like tapering off with young bands, is just that hunger to get out and play. And I can't say enough about how important that is, because it's the part of the business you can control. You know, if you're a stellar live act, people are going to want to come see you, and you can sort of make your own rules. I mean, if those are your people that pay to see you, those are your fans, and you don't need a middle person to get to them. That's the sort of part of the career you can sort of have some control over. Plus, it's fun as hell, you know. So I just think get out and play a lot.
You do look like you're having fun up there. I'm not a stalker or anything, but I have seen you many times. But it must be a rush for you guys to look out over the crowd and see everybody wearing your T-shirts and singing along to the songs that you wrote. Like, it must be just so fulfilling as an artist for that to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's the end point of a pretty long journey, you know, that the songs usually start in somebody's bedroom, or, you know, them hovering over their voice memo on their phone. And then it goes through this long arc where, you know, whoever wrote it brings it to the band. And then it goes through a whole other metamorphosis, and everybody's chopping away at it and making it their own. And then you bring it to a producer, and it takes on its sort of final shape, and you record it, and then you submit the record, and then it kind of gets promoted. And then, you know, fast forward all these months and years later, and then you just see somebody experiencing the song and having a moment of joy around it. And that's about as fulfilling as it gets. Cause I mean, the song started out, you know, in the bedroom, and here it is now with thousands of people singing along and having a great night. And I mean, that's like the sort of destination point that you hope for any song or work of art. And I mean, that's about as good as it gets.
Music is such a powerful force, taking you back to a place and a time and a person. And yeah, and for your audience, like, it's different for everybody out there. And yeah, I know it is for me. And
well, and I feel the same way. Like, I'm a fan. I mean, first and foremost, I'm a fan of music. I mean, it's like It's what keeps you driven and is what drives you forward. And when I go see a band that I know and love, I'm in the audience with goosebumps singing at the top of my lungs too. So I know that feeling, and I hope it never goes away, because it's like the most special thing about, you know, what we do.
What was the last concert you were able to attend, like as a person singing along in the crowd?
Let me think about that. Well, there was a couple of really good, like, smaller club shows that I saw. I saw Tommy Stinson from The Replacements. He came and played a little club in Hamilton, and I love The Replacements. I also saw Daniel Romano's Outfit. He's like, you may have heard of him. He's sort of out and about. He's a Canadian guy. Another club show that just kind of blew my mind. But, you know, as far as the bigger shows, I mean, I saw the Black Crowes at Massey Hall a few months ago when they were there. And they're one of those bands that I grew up, you know, collecting their tapes and cassettes. And just through fate and craziness, we've gotten to know those guys. You know, we've worked with them, toured with them. So lucky enough to call them pals. But then went to see them at Massey Hall. And as soon as they're playing something off their first two records, you know, it's that same thing. You know, you get your hair stands up on end and you feel like that chill of recognition, and you're singing along and you're having a great time. So yeah, but that's just to name a few.
Wow. Can we have a little peek inside your set list for Saturday night at Valley East Days?
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, this summer we've kind of gotten into a cool groove with, you know, doing sort of a lot of the songs people know and love us for, but also previewing a couple of new songs that we have worked out for our next record, which is going to come out, I think, early next year.
Wow. Good.
So, you know, there's a few new things. There's a lot of like sort of classic tracks. And then there's, you know, a handful of, sort of deeper cuts that we sort of sprinkle in there too.
Nice. Well, I can't wait to see you, but I do want to know, I had tears in my eyes and goosebumps when the Trues played the 80th anniversary of D-Day at Juno Beach. How did that all come about, Highway of Heroes at Juno Beach?
We got invited in April. We just got an email from our manager, and he said they've asked you to come play this ceremony in France for the 80th anniversary of Juno Beach. And that was all that we knew at that time. And we're like, absolutely, let's go to France. And that sounds really special and really cool. And then sort of as the day approached, the sort of like size of the event start to set in. We started hearing about, oh, it's going to be broadcast live on every major network in Canada. We're like, oh, that's really cool. And they're like, oh, but, and also in France. We're like, okay, that's neat. And also, you know, the Prime Minister is going to be there, and the Prime Minister of France, and the Prince, you know, Prince William is going to be there. And so as the day approached, the sort of grandeur of the event started to set in, and we started to get a little bit nervous about it. But then we got there on the day, and all I felt was like this sort of immense gratitude for the world we grew up in and what it took for that world to be what it is. And it took an amazing amount of sacrifice. Walking around in the streets of those little villages, there's Canadian flags everywhere. And from what I understand, this happens year round, not just on anniversaries, because, our countrymen, you know, our forefathers, liberated this place, and they don't forget. And the amount of sacrifice, the amount of death and destruction that took place in that very spot, I was just sort of hit by all of that. And I think, you know, people say they felt a lot of emotion when they were watching it, but we felt a lot of emotion being there singing it. And it was hard to get through. And the dozen or so survivors, Canadian survivors of that battle, were there in front of us. We were playing for them. And so there was a lot of emotion. And at the end of the day, we're just glad it went well, and we're very grateful to have done it and humbled by the experience.
Yeah, well, it was truly wonderful to watch, and I could tell you were playing for those surviving veterans sitting there in the front row. The rest of the world didn't really matter at that point. You were playing for them because of what they did for our country.
100%.
Yeah. Well, John Angus, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. And I'm going to be at the show. I am going to be backstage. And hopefully the weather holds out for a great show from the Trues at Valley East Days.
Yeah, we can't wait. Come say hello. And we'll see everybody at the show. We can't wait to be back up north.